sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. This is the account of a battle between Israel and the Philistines, and the destruction of Hophni and Phinehas, as well as a disaster that befell the Israelite army. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now remember, chapter divisions are a bit artificial and sometimes in the wrong place. And the last verse of chapter 3 spoke of the fact that the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And then it says the word of Samuel came to all Israel, but I think in the context, this is not speaking about Samuel later on in his prophetic ministry, so to speak, but rather that word that came to Samuel while still a child, wherein he had revealed to him the destruction of Eli and his household because of their wickedness. And what is now happening in this, recorded in 1 Samuel 4, is the outworking or fulfillment of that word which God had given to Samuel and which he had passed on to the nation and to Eli, of course, at first off, and to the nation at large. Well, we don't even know the nation at large heard of it, but the fact was now what the events that transpired here, the fulfillment of that word. Now, Israel was often subjected to oppression by the Philistines, and the reason was always the same, namely disobedience. Now, Samuel is the last of the judges, you see, in Israel, so we're still in the time of the judges. And when we read the book of Judges, what do we see? Well, the same old, time and again, they depart from the Lord, they take up with idols, they're oppressed, they cry unto the Lord, he delivers them, he sends a deliverer, all's well for a short period of time, and back they go to their idol worship. Every 40 years or so, the whole thing was repeated. They never seemed to learn. And if we look at the history of the church, we see the same thing, perhaps not in such a short span as in the book of Judges, but nevertheless, we do see, right from the beginning, this tendency to declension, which in times past captivated what was supposed to be the church, leaving only a handful of true believers scattered throughout the then known world. And God did send, as we know, that great reformation and some revival since then. But at this moment in time, we are in the middle of another great apostasy from the truth. And while it has not yet as severe as it was prior to the Reformation, the thing about it is it's more universal. In since the Reformation, gospel truth has spread over a wider area of the world as than was at that time. And what are we seeing? Well, we're seeing the oppression in many countries of Christianity, And the beginnings of it in Western nations, from the atheistic side of society. And so this was the case here. They had no respect, as we're told in the previous chapter, to the offerings of the Lord, because Hophni and Phinehas, to whom they would have looked as examples, were bad examples, to put it mildly. They were a total disgrace, and they were contaminated and had contaminated the whole body, as it were, of the people. And hence, they were oppressed. So now, they go out to join battle with the Philistines in order to deliver themselves from that oppression. But the first thing we notice is they never inquired of the Lord as to whether they should go or not. The second thing was they didn't inquire of the Lord as to why they were oppressed. In fact, that should have been the first inquiry of the Lord, or to the Lord, as to why they were in the situation they were in. And this applies to us in this day and generation. These principles don't change. They are eternal principles, if you like. Cause and effect. The cause is always departure from God. Departure from God doesn't stop there. There's always a substitution for God's truth. It is always supplanted by something else. History past, of course, it was ritualistic type of Christianity, which wasn't Christianity at all, which of course is still around with us today. But in these days, more than at any time in history in the past, it is atheism that people have drifted into, or agnosticism. I've always said atheism is actually the deification of man. You know, man knows everything. Our government are looking to the scientists. And while the scientists can tell us certain things about germs and so on, those in that particular discipline, they don't know everything. There is confusion, contradictions, but there's no inquiry to the Lord as to why this has happened. There's not a word, our rulers, not a single word have I heard about God and his truth and seeking the Lord in prayer or any such thing. And so they go out to battle, not inquiring of the Lord, not questioning why they're in the mess they were in the first instance, just like today, battling against an unseen enemy, but a far more dangerous enemy potentially, but no inquiry as to why these things happen, because of course God is left out of their thinking altogether. As it says in Romans, God is not in all their thoughts. He's not in their thoughts at all, in fact. And so they pitch in Ebenezer. Now, it wasn't named Ebenezer till later on, where God did give them a victory over the Philistines. And the inevitable happened. As they joined battle with the Philistines, they were defeated. They lost 4,000 men. It wasn't a rout. They were still encamped in the areas they had been before. If you like, this was a preliminary encounter. But they were badly beaten. And so in verse 3 it says, when the people came unto the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? But that wasn't inquiring of the Lord, was it? This was, in fact, stating, well, why has God done this? You know, it wasn't at any way of seeking the Lord as to why has this come upon us. It is, in fact, a questioning of God's mercy to them, as it were, or in this case, lack of it. Well, why should he do this to us? When it should have been obvious as to why they were in the mess they were in. You see, this is, of course, what happens. When people become compromised, apostate, spiritually dull, it doesn't occur to them that the reason they are in the mess they're in is because they have forsaken the God of Israel. And therefore, these things have come upon them. This was no humble inquiry. They didn't even inquire of the Lord. It was a statement. Why has the Lord done this? So then they hit upon an idea. Said, well, let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh amongst us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Now notice the words. You see, they were now putting their trust in the Ark as the Ark, not in what it represented, and not in the God who dwelt between the cherubim and where the mercy seat was. Their belief here was that the Ark itself would, by its very presence amongst them, give them the victory. So the words, notice the words that's used. When it cometh amongst us. Not when God comes amongst us. When it cometh amongst us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. This, of course, is the essence of ritualism. You know, the parading of images through the streets of Christ, of Mary, of saints. It amounts to the same thing. Or the mere performance of ritual. Just by the doing of these rituals, it will bring grace to those who so do. This, of course, is the essence of heathenism. And it, as I say, Israel of old constantly fell into this way of thinking, and that is the essence of ritualism today. It's heathenism. That it is not God they're trusting in, but in this case a piece of furniture which did have great significance, but only if they adhered to that covenant that God had made with them. Now remember, in the Ark of the Covenant, amongst other things, what was in there? Tables of stone containing the commandments. And the fact was that they were breaking the commandments, specifically the first and second commandment. And that was the cause of all their woes. But it's, you see, like people, the church building becomes the church. Religious artifacts somehow can impart spiritual blessings. You know, it's like they have holy water, for instance, and holy oil. Well, as I said before, inanimate matter is neither holy nor unholy. It's just matter. There can be no spiritual influence imparted from the water itself, or the oil. Of course, those who believe in water and that sort of thing, the devil behind it, like Paul says, an image, nothing, but it's the demons behind the image. So this was their whole mindset. They were totally ignorant of true religion as God had revealed it to them in via Moses and was in their law. They were just totally ignorant of it. And they were in a mess as a result. So they sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Well, that was guaranteed to bring disaster, in that those two were chief in the offense. And again, we have it today. If we look at the national church, Archbishop of York and the Archbishop of Canterbury, the two principal overseers, supposedly within that church, absolute reprobates. Absolute reprobates. And while there are still some within that communion that adhere to the truth, they're nowhere as vociferous as they ought to be, but they're like the man of God that came to Eli, you know, and rebuked him for not taking the actions he should do. They should be far more vociferous in challenging the rot in that organization than they are in fact so doing. So the two reprobates who despised the offerings of God were contemptuous of them. The means that God had appointed as the means of grace for Israel of old, because they were means of grace, that was the way by which they could approach God, by the sacrifices and those high priests appointed. They were the mediators appointed to that end, types of Christ, of course. But they were total reprobates, and they were immoral reprobates. And this had spread, as we have already seen, this had spread to the people, as it always does. So now, they send for the Ark of the Covenant, but they have forgotten what it signifies. And they have forgotten that the blessings can only come when they obey that which God has laid down in his word. But far from obeying it, they were doing the very opposite. As I say, being contemptuous of those offerings which God had commanded them. And if you're contemptuous of the word of God, of course you're contemptuous of God himself. This was bound to bring doom upon them. But you see, it was all in the providence of God, because God said he was going to judge because of what Hophni and Phinehas had done, and particularly he was going to deal with them, for he had said in one day both of them would be cut off. But it had ramifications far beyond the household of Eli, in that the nation itself had become corrupted, and the nation itself was going to be punished as a result. So they bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord with Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, no doubt carrying it. They're the priests as well. Verse 5, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. All now they were sure of victory. It was going to bring them victory. This is ritualism. See, they're absolutely confident in these items, statues, rituals, and so on, that it's going to bring grace to them. I was speaking to somebody about the Mass and the Mass wafer, and this person said that when they take the wafer, they really feel Christ is within them. You see, Satan can give nice feelings when you're doing false things, things contrary to the Word of God. I remember a horrible thing that Trump said. He'd been to communion, I'm not sure in what church, and he said it's good to take the biscuit, or words to that effect. Well, in other words, he felt as if he had got blessing from taking the biscuit. Well, that man has no idea of spiritual truth, but he's no different to countless of millions of others. He's a smattering of religion, but that's all it is. It's not God's religion, as it were. It's not God's word. It's not according to God's word. And they can, you know, multitudes. You know, when they parade the images of Mary and Fatima, Lourdes, or the Antichrist himself appears on the balcony of St. Peter's, there's thousands there. And they think it's wonderful, and they're reaching out to touch him. You know, and I've no doubt Satan will give them a religious experience in doing that. I've told you before, I do believe he sees these apparitions of Mary. But they're devilish apparitions. You know, the Bible speaks about the false signs and wonders that would be performed by Antichrist and his setup. Same in heathenism. Well, this is just baptized heathenism in effect. But it is the same in heathenism. They get things out of their religion. They get false comfort. Of course they do. Because the whole idea of that is to cushion the road to hell. That's Satan's objective. And so he will give them nice feelings. Now, if ever one might have thought, as this came into the camp, this is a real revival meeting, you know. You can get a whole lot of noise and rejoicing even, an atmosphere, but it's all false. Because, it says, the earth rang again with this great shout. So much so, it says here, the earth rang again, echoed and re-echoed. And the Philistines heard it. And they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood, how I'm not sure, that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. They said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Well, at least they had a better idea of things than the Israelites did, because they said, God is come into the camp. I mean, they didn't understand the implication of the Ark of the Covenant, but at least it had come into the camp. They said, God's come into the camp. See what I'm saying? These were the Israelites, were the supposed people of God. In apostasy, they were it in. Here are the heathen Philistines, say, God's come into the camp. And then later on, they say, God's. And they said, woe unto us. Who shall deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? They will go from God to God, because typical of heathenism. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Well, actually, they didn't smite the Egyptian in the wilderness, apart from, I suppose, Israel is, Egypt is quite desert. But they remembered, it was well known to all the for instance, before Israel conquered Canaan, you know, the people of Canaan knew what God had done to the Egyptians. And they were afraid of the Israelites because they knew God was with them. And so this is several years later, and it still is remembered amongst the heathen. But it wasn't remembered by the people of God. They smote them with plagues. And then it said, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they be to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Now, who said that to them, I don't know. Was it their officers? Or was it God through their officers? Because remember, God's in charge of all this. But whatever it was, they were, as it were, their morale was lifted, and they were told to fight like men, and they did. And Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. There was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. That's a lot of people. They lost 4,000 the first time round, but they learned nothing. They learned nothing. Now, they lose more than 7 times that. And you see, to apply it in a modern context, well, why isn't God blessing? And then, well, we better try other methods. Well, what is that but bringing it into the camp, if you see what I mean? Rather than seeking God and crying unto God, they try something different. The word of God isn't good enough for them. It doesn't work anymore. They don't ask the question as to why it's not working anymore. And so they bring in a religious artifact. In these days, of course, it's modern contrivances and methods. But it amounts to the same thing. Not seeking the Lord, not asking the question, well, why are we in the situation we're in? They were so compromised, they were so far departed from the God of Israel and his word, they just simply had no idea whatsoever. Now, I've said many times to you that nature abhors a vacuum, as they say, but it is always the case when the Church of Jesus Christ departs from the Word of God, something will take its place. It's never just departing from the God. There'll be something else that will supplant it. It may be, as in today, people just become atheists or indifferent. But within the church itself, inverted commas church, there will be substitutions made. Hence, rituals, adornment, dress it up. I said this many a time. And then evangelical situations, it's entertainment, miracles, a minute. The gospel rock, all sorts of spectaculars, people supposedly fallen over, smitten by the Spirit. You know, I mean, if you've ever seen it on YouTube, I mean, it's absolutely awful. But there's thousands there, hello, you know, the earth ringing again, as it were, with their shouts, because they think this is God at work. When, of course, it's nothing of the sort. And they've been slain, all right. Slain by a false spirit, as it were, and that eternally. And last one, and the ark of God was taken, the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas were slain. The object, the it, in which they put such great confidence was taken. Well, it might be because it was of no benefit to them, in that they had completely misunderstood what it represented. It became a mere, just an object, a venerated object. The confidence was in it, not in God. So it was just as well that it was taken from them. And of course, according to the word of God given via Samuel, Hophni and Phinehas were slain, as God had said there would be the same day. We leave it there, but it is a stark reminder of what can happen when a people depart from God and put their confidence in the shell, as it were, rather than the kernel, that's K-E-R-N-A-L, of what that ark represented, namely God himself. There is much religion, but little true biblical spirituality. Amen.